I'm Bob and I'm an addict. Good to see everybody. So I mean, about 5 minutes ago, Chris text messaged me and said, "Hey, are you still coming to the meeting? You're going to be the speaker." And I said, "Oh yeah." Totally spaced on it. I've actually been I was back in my hometown last weekend, visiting family and stuff, and it just feels like everything this week was incredibly rushed, and so. Just another thing. And by the way, that's one of the things that I really just don't like looking disorganized in front of other people. It really gets to me. I think that was back in the days, in my active addiction, something like this would really have just eaten me up. I would really be thinking about it and like, oh God, I almost missed it and everybody knows and it looks like I'm such a jerk or whatever. And I can't say I never feel anything like that now, but it's a lot easier now. I think in the past it would have just been another thing that I would have to use over. And now I can have things happen that don't necessarily feel great and it can still be okay. So, good lesson in my disorganization. So obviously I have nothing planned. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about today, but I'm going to tell my story and do what we always do at these sort of things. So I once did a similar it wasn't NA, it was for another group, but I did a similar kind of thing where I kind of told my story and stuff and I talked a little bit about kind of like the etiology of my addiction or whatever. And afterwards, one of the women who was listening said, "Wow, that's really interesting because from what you told us, you really had no real reason to become an addict. You just kind of fell into the hedonism of it all." And I thought, "Wow, I was a little bit taken aback, but from when I thought about what I had said as part of my story, I was like, yeah, that really that is kind of true, right? Like I don't come from a background of like intense personal trauma or some of the things that you hear in these meetings that sometimes you hear someone speak and you're like, God, I totally understand why that person became addicted to drugs, right? And that's not really my story. I think I had there are things about my childhood that were difficult and stuff, and I've always struggled with some anxiety and things like that, but it really wasn't to the extent that you sometimes hear. And I often think about that, like what was it really that pushed me over? And I think in certain ways, like it was really just I just happened to get the wrong idea about things in some ways. I think for me, I kind of had this, I know I had this tendency to, use compulsive behaviors to kind of run from emotions or, hide from things that I didn't want to feel. And I found a great excuse for it in the way that addiction is kind of glorified in society. It's like that's what artistic people do, that's what creative people and intelligent people do. They go to rock bottom and then they have this redemption story where they get into recovery and it all works out, which I guess was true in my case, but maybe not everything worked out, but it did change. And so when I was younger, when I was in my late teens and early 20s, and I was going to college and stuff, I really it almost was like the story was already written. I feel like it was almost like I wanted to become a drug addict. I kind of like looked up to all these guys like William Burroughs and some of the authors and musicians and stuff who always get kind of glorified, and they get glorified not only because of their creative power, but also because of their because of how fucked up they were. I think we have this tendency in our society to look at extremes of behavior and kind of think they're cool, and I mean they are definitely interesting, but yeah, so I got this idea in my head, I think, that that was where I was going. And once I had the idea, I just kept going down that road, you know? And like I said, you know, I think the tendency was already there to kind of take the easy way, to not deal with emotions. And so yeah, once I kind of got access to drugs, you know, once I came to Seattle and larger city, and you know, just a lot of people who were using and had you know, kind of already other people who already had a problem with drugs, maybe not into complete addiction yet, but people who were using in a problematic way. I was able to find those people, and you know, that was where I was pointed. I think I've said this in one of these meetings before, but there's a great scene in the movie Labyrinth where Jennifer Connelly's character is falling down a pit. You know, she stumbles into a pit and she's falling, and all these kind of like little hand guys come out and they grab her, you know, from the walls, and they're holding her up, and they say like, "Well, which way do you want to go, up or down?" And she says, "Well, I'm already pointed in this direction, so I want to go down." And that to me, like, really just describes, I mean, it describes a lot of things in life, but in my life, in particular, it really just describes that impulse, that kind of self-destructive impulse, you know, the kind of Freudian death drive, right? Like that I seem to have for whatever reason. You know, there was definitely a period in my life when it just, you know, it, looking at it from the outside now, it just seems like everything I was doing was the purpose of it, or at least the result of it, was harming myself. And it's really hard to understand why. You know, I tend to think that I like myself, you know, or at least I want to get good things for myself and avoid bad things. But yeah, there was a time in my life, you know, a good 10 to 15 years, when pretty much every decision I made was the result was telegraphed that it was going to end up in me getting hurt, and I did it anyway. So that's a bit of a mystery, but yeah, you know, I mean, I think when I was doing all that stuff, you know, in my mind, I had this image of myself in my mind that didn't really correlate to who I actually was, but it didn't matter because I was high all the time. You know, I was delusional in a way. You know, the fact that I always felt good because of drugs, or I always felt miserable when I was hungover, and I would just tell myself, "Well, it's just because I'm hungover. I just have to get high again." You know, because of that, I was able to basically live in my own head. You know, there was no feedback from the outside world that I was taking in, or maybe I was on some level, but I was just very skillful at avoiding it or ignoring it. That would tell me that, you know, something was wrong, that I wasn't who I purported to be. Yeah, you know, I mean, why do anything? If you're already, you know, in your mind, you've done it all and you're great. You know, why strive for greatness if you're already great, to yourself? So that was my thing, you know, and I was in that for a long time. But I guess it finally caught, you know, I guess the kind of subtle, insistent voice inside me caught up with me. And especially as I was getting older, you know, I was getting into my 40s, and I just started to realize, like, in my mind, I was this great author, and I was this great, you know, creative force, and you know, all of this stuff. And the actuality of it was, I was a working stiff who just got so blasted on weekends that, you know, I was miserable throughout the entire week, dragging through, you know, taking prescription drugs and stuff to kind of cope with it. And then, you know, and every weekend was a blur. It was, you know, a blackout. And so yeah, I mean, I think that's what eventually happened to me, is that I just realized, like, you know, things weren't lining up. And so that's what really drove me into recovery. You know, I'd known about NA and AA for a long time, and I read Infinite Jest and I thought that was just such a great book, and I thought, oh, wow, I should try that out. One of my friends actually said to me when he heard that I was in recovery, he's like, wow, that was totally predictable, right? Like it almost seems like you got into drugs just so you could have this kind of redemption arc, right? Like that's the kind of narrative that I was creating for myself. And I don't know about that. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, I think that is my story. That is the story that I've created for myself. And the nice thing about that is that it actually, that is really what kind of happened, right? Like it's not just in my mind. It's it's every day, and I do my 10th step, and I'm thinking about the things that I went through today and the things that I have to kind of, patch up or make amends for. And it's good, I can be honest with myself about what I'm doing and who I am, and that's a good thing. I mean, it's real simple. I guess, one of the things for me was that I always felt so insufficient that I had to build myself up to be this great person and, incredibly accomplished and incredibly creative and all this stuff in my mind. And it's been a learning process to kind of come to realistic expectations for myself, and or just be realistic. I mean, who knows what the future holds, right? But I can be realistic about where I am now, and I don't have to hide from it. So that's a really positive thing for me. Like I said, I went back to my hometown this weekend. My niece was in a play. It was very cute. It was very funny. She's seven. I was able to see my family and some of my friends from high school and stuff. And my relationship with my hometown is basically just that I couldn't wait to leave. And sometimes people will say, like, oh, I couldn't wait to leave my hometown. And as I went on through the world, like I started to realize, like, oh, it's actually kind of a nice place. And I guess that maybe that's true for some people, but definitely not for me. I'd never want to go back there. I know, my friends seem to have made a nice life for themselves there, but yeah, man, I don't want to. I just can't imagine what my life would be like if I was still there. It was just a little bit too small for me, I guess. It doesn't sound arrogant or something, but yeah, it just was. It wasn't a. It was growing up was a little bit rough for me there. I don't feel like I really fit in the culture. It was very traditional and kind of conservative and stuff, and I mean, all of those things, but anyway, like going back there, I really kind of was thinking about all of that, right? And it used to be like, oh well, I could never go back there unless I was like really rich and famous and stuff, so I could just prove to everybody how wrong they were about me and all of this. And I mean, I still really wouldn't want to see most of the people I went to high school with. I've never been to one of my high school reunions or whatever, but it really just doesn't matter anymore. And I don't know how much of that is being in recovery and how much of that is just getting older. And it's just crazy how as time goes on, like the stuff that was so huge in my life and really and did kind of influence the kind of person that I became. It's just receding in the rear view. It just doesn't matter. And yeah, I mean, all the things that I used to dwell on, I mean, it just seems so petty to me now. So yeah, it's good. And to go back and see family and stuff. My parents are getting older. See my brother, his kids. It's just life really it changes, and you go through different kind of phases in life. And The phase that I'm in now really kind of revolves around my recovery. Like all of the things that I'm doing now, a lot of the things that I'm doing now, I didn't have before I got into recovery, and probably wouldn't have. I see that 5 minutes. Thanks. So yeah, I mean, I think that for me, this is what I'm doing now. And what I was going to say when I started on this thing about going home, what I was going to say is that like many kind of standard American families, my brother and his wife, there's a ton of prescription drugs in that house, right? Like there just is. And that was really like one of my big MOs when I was in my active addiction, is that I just borrow some prescription drugs from you, right? Like, if I was in your house and I was went to your bathroom or something, I'd just check out and see what you got, right? Like, who knows? Might maybe there's a bottle that's kind of full and you wouldn't miss one, right? And I mean I or even if it's not that full, even if you would miss one, I'd probably still take it, that was just what I did. And it wasn't even like like most people, even when they kind of justify when they're, stealing or whatever, they kind of know in the back of their mind that it's wrong. And yeah, I never felt that way at all. When it came to other things, yeah, like I would never steal. Like even, people steal from work and stuff, and it's like, oh, well, whatever, they're ripping me off. But like I would never steal from work. Like even when I was in my active addiction, never would do something like that. But when it came to drugs, it was like, yeah, like it's all mine. Right, like if it's there, it belongs to me. And so yeah, that was just such a natural behavior for me. And I can really say, like, it's not like I didn't think about it while I was there, but there was just no chance of me doing it. Like there was th there's just too much on the line, right? And it's not just I lose my job and my car and my relationships or whatever. Like it's not just that. It's also, personal. Like this is what I'm doing now, and this is the path that I'm on. I don't know necessarily where it's going, but I just feel so strongly that this is what I'm doing, and I'm just gonna keep doing it. That makes me feel really good. Regardless of anything else, regardless of what my destiny is, what I'm going to achieve in life or not, I know I'm doing this, and it's I feel very sure-footed on that path. So I think that's about all I had to say. Probably running out of time anyway, but again, I think thanks for reminding me that I was going to do this, Chris, and thanks for listening, everybody.